from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast via shortwave on 9525 kilohertz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.
Hello listener, welcome back to our English program over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we will bring you first our news, followed by My Indonesia, Today in History, Highlight of the Week, News in Brief, Indonesian Wonder, Miss Lady, and Listener's Mailbag. That was our program summary for today over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Stand by now for the news.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Listener, here's the news. First, the headlines. Indonesian President Joko Widodo received U.S. State Secretary. Foreign Minister Retno and Minister Pompeo discussed 70th anniversary of Indonesia-America diplomatic relations. The United States of America Secretary of State agrees with the two-state solutions. Now the news in detail. Indonesian President Joko Widodo received the U.S. Secretary of State Michael Richard Pompeo at the Merdeka Palace in Jakarta on Sunday to discuss a number of bilateral and international issues. President Joko Widodo at the moment was accompanied by Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi, Minister of Trade Enggartia Stolokita, Minister of State Secretary Pratikno, including Indonesian Ambassador to United States Budi Bowo Laksono. The president said that Indonesia is the largest country in the Southeast Asian region, as well as the largest Muslim country in the world. He remarked that he is also proud that democracy is growing rapidly in Indonesia. The challenge faced by all nations today is that how to maintain diversity with each other and respect. Meanwhile, the State Secretary Richard Pompeo praised Indonesia as one of America's strategic partners. This is Pompeo's first visit after being appointed as U.S. Secretary of State on April 27, 2018. The U.S. State Secretary Michael Richard Pompeo on Saturday visited Indonesia for a bilateral visit. The state visit is part of a series of bilateral visits of United States State Secretary to Southeast Asia. Arriving in Jakarta, Michael Richard Pompeo, who was accompanied by several delegates, directly came to the Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs to hold a bilateral meeting with Indonesian counterpart Retno Marsudi. Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi said the 70th anniversary Indonesia-United States of America diplomatic relations next year was discussed at the meeting, which lasted for approximately 30 minutes. In particular, the theme proposed by Indonesia for the commemoration is Celebrate Our Diversity, Prosper Together as Strategic Partner.
Tahun depan, Indonesia dan Amerika Serikat akan merayakan 70 tahun hubungan diplomatik. Dan tadi saya sampaikan bahwa
next year, Indonesia and United States will celebrate their 70th diplomatic relations. I've said earlier that for next year's commemoration, the theme proposed by Indonesia is Celebrate Our Diversity, Prosper Together as Strategic Partners. Indonesia and US are partners in developing the values of democracy, pluralism, and tolerance. Indonesia is the world's most populous Muslim country, as the third largest democracy country in the world, and one of the 20 countries with the largest GDP, certainly has a strategic position in the international relations. On the same occasion, Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi also said ASEAN-US economic relations would benefit both parties. The relationship is mainly in the field of trade and investment. The annual economic growth of ASEAN countries is still more than 5%. Therefore, according to Retno Marsudi, ASEAN has considerable potential and capacity, so that ASEAN's trade and investment relations with US will benefit both parties. On the occasion, Retno Marsudi also told Richard Pompeo on ASEAN-US trade data for the past 10 years. In the past 10 years, US exports to ASEAN have shown a fairly good increase. US investment in ASEAN is the fourth largest, while the figure of ASEAN investment in the US is also quite large. The Indonesian Minister Retno Marsudi reiterated that the two-state solution is the only solution to achieve peace in Palestine. This was stated by Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi at a bilateral meeting with United States Secretary of State Michael Richard Pompeo in Jakarta on Saturday. According to a press statement given by Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi, the U.S. Trade Secretary Pompeo did not reject the two-state solution offered by Indonesia. However, it is needed time to compile a peace plan regarding the Palestinian issue.
Palestina, beliau menyatakan bahwa tentunya situasi Palestina bukan situasi yang mudah. Tetapi pada saat saya menyebutkan mengenai two-state solution, saya melihat penerimaan.
He stated that of course the Palestinian situation is not an easy situation, but when I mentioned the two-state solutions, I saw he agreed that two-state solutions is the answer or the only solution. So he did not reject the two-state solution policy. However, he said that it still needs time to make a peace plan on the Palestinian issue. Furthermore, Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi also emphasized to the State Secretary Michael Richard Pompeo that the community and Indonesian government had great attention and support for the realization of peace in Palestine, especially through the two-state solution. The two-state solution was built especially to reach an independent Palestinian state inside the Israel region on the west of Jordan River. The solution was determined by UN General Assembly Resolution 194, adopted on December 11, 1948. In addition to the two-state solution, the Resolution 194 also stipulates the right of Palestinian refugees to return to their hometown, which currently occupied by Israel. Regarding efforts to achieve peace in Palestine, the US President Donald Trump has formed a special team to draft peace proposals between Palestine and Israel. According to President Trump, the peace plan will be an important history as the agreement of the century. Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi held a bilateral meeting with US Secretary of State Michael Richard Pompeo in Jakarta. During the meeting, which lasted for approximately 30 minutes, the two foreign ministers discussed various issues related to bilateral relations between the two countries, as well as regional and global issues. One of them is the issue related to denuclearization on the Korean Peninsula. Through a press statement, Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi said many parties, including Indonesia, appreciated the positive steps taken by North Korea and US to realize the denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula.
Kita bicara mengenai masalah Korea Utara, tapi sebenarnya dalam konteks bagaimana menjadikan Semenanjung Korea ini bebas dari nuklir.
We are talking about issues of North Korea, especially in the context of how to make Korean Peninsula free of nuclear. The topic of the Korean Peninsula appeared in several meetings in ASEAN. There also emerged several elements, such as an element of good welcome from all parties in the meeting and positive steps. There are two things of positive steps, namely two inter-Korean meetings and a meeting between President Trump and Chairman Kim in Singapore. Foreign Minister Retno furthermore said that all parties involved in the meeting hope that denuclearization and peace efforts involving the Korean countries, namely South Korea and North Korea, as well as United States, can run well. During the time, the development of peace process between North Korea and South Korea and US continues to show positive improvements. The Korean Central News Agency, KCNA, currently reported that North Korea has begun a process to reduce tensions and build trust with South Korea and America. No fewer than 65,000 people performing poco-poco dance in Jakarta's Car Free Day area on Sunday in an attempt to break the Guinness World Record and to welcome the Asian Games. The dance was held from 6:30 to 7:30 a.m. and was centered on Silang Monas Square. It also covered the area of weekly Car Free Day events from the yard of the State Palace on Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat to the Hotel Indonesia traffic circle. The popular collective dance originated from Manado in North Sulawesi. The event is organized by Indonesian Asian Games Organizing Committee in Inaskok and the Association of Cabinet Members' Wives or OASE Kabinet Kerja. The dance was joined by staff members of various ministries, agencies, local governments, the military, police, and other institutions. The last item. Indonesian Ambassador to the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, Agus Maftuh Abu Gabriel, expect the additional quota for Indonesian Hajj pilgrims to reach 250,000 during the Hajj season next year. Ambassador Maftuh voiced his aspiration while speaking at the prestigious academic forum held by Saudi Arabian Journalist Forum, SIHAFIUN, at the Riyadh Chamber of Commerce building, Saudi Arabia, recently. The Indonesian ambassador became one of the speakers at the international seminar themed Al-Mulka Masirah Tariq fi Khidmat Dutuf Ar-Rahman, or The Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, Travel and History in Serving the Guest of Allah, that examined the management of Hajj. At the seminar, the Indonesian ambassador lauded the government of Saudi Arabia for the facilities and services provided to Indonesian pilgrims and extraordinary welcome ceremonies by the kingdom to the pilgrims not existing earlier. He explained that the additional quota is expected to increase in the number of Indonesian pilgrims to 250,000, so it could shorten the waiting time for Hajj departure. At the forum, Ambassador Agus Maftuh delivered Saunesia or Saudi Indonesian badges to the participants and pinned it on the robe of Prince Faisal bin Sultan Al Saud as a mark of Indonesia's recognition for bilateral relations that are in a golden period. Well, listener, that was the news.
Indonesia in economy, international politics, sports, environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with a daily segment, My Indonesia, which today is on Indonesia ready to hold the 2018 Asian Games. Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kalla ensures Indonesia is ready to hold the 2018 Asian Games, which will begin on August 18, 2018. Various aspects ranging from infrastructure, venue, and organizer are ready. This was conveyed by Vice President Yusuf Kalla after a meeting on the preparation of the 2018 Asian Games at Gelora Bung Karno Senayan, South Jakarta on Friday. He said Indonesia is ready to organize the Asian Games both in terms of the venue or infrastructure, as well as the Inasgok as the organizer and also the athletes' preparation. Yusuf Kalla also had a chance to review athletes' houses and two Asian Games venues in the Gelora Bung Karno complex. He then highlighted the Sentiong River or Kali Item, which is right near Kemayoran athletes' house. The river is now covered by wearing cloth and, according to him, no longer smells. Yusuf Kalla hopes that Indonesian contingent or athletes will be able to present the best results, and he will also recheck the preparation of the Asian Games nearing the opening date in the middle of the month. Meanwhile, Deputy for Sport Achievement Improvement Mulyana, during the Media Staff Technical Coordination Meeting in Jakarta on Thursday, said Indonesia, as the host, is aiming for the top 10 of the 2018 Asian Games. Four new sports, which are Indonesia's mainstay, are expected to become a medal source besides contributions from branches that have been the traditional strength of Indonesia's red and white team. Mulyana is optimistic that the target of finishing in the top 10 can be achieved. This was based on Indonesia's achievements at the previous Asian Games in Incheon, South Korea in 2014. Then, there were 36 sport branches competed with 439 events. The red and white contingent finished 17th with 4 gold medals, 5 silvers, and 11 bronze medals. At these Asian Games, the number of sport branches increased by 4 to 40 with 465 event numbers. 4 additional sports are pencak silat, jet ski, paragliding, and bridge, and are hoped to bring gold to Indonesia. However, if the 4 sports failed, Mulyana said, there are still some other leading sports that had the chance to donate gold medals to Indonesia. The traditional branches in question are taekwondo, wushu, bowling, badminton, rock climbing, and many others. Well, that was my Indonesia Today on Indonesia Ready to Host 2018 Asian Games. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. I'll begin with August 5, 1960, independence of Burkina Faso. Burkina Faso, formerly called Volta Hulu, is a country in West Africa, bordering Mali in the north, Togo and Ghana in the south, Niger in the east, Benin in the southeast, and Ivory Coast in the southwest. In the kingdom, Burkina Faso was named the Kingdom of Mossi, which was later colonized by France and became a protectorate. In 1904, these regions joined French East Africa in the Senegal-Niger Upper Colony. The colony was dismantled on September 5, 1932, and the area was divided among Ivory Coast, Mali, and Niger. On December 4, 1947, Volta Hulu was reinvented from its old borders in 1932. On December 11, 1958, it became a republic and joined the French African Society and gained independence on August 5, 1960. Turning to August 5, 1962, Hotel Indonesia was inaugurated. Hotel Indonesia is the first 5-star hotel built in Indonesia. The hotel was inaugurated on August 5, 1962 by the first president of Indonesia, Sukarno, to welcome the 4th Asian Games in 1962. The Hotel Indonesia building was designed by architect Abel Sorensen and his wife Wendy from the United States. Occupying an area of 25,082 square meters, this hotel has the slogan, a dramatic symbol of free nations working together. This hotel is designated as a cultural heritage by the local government of Jakarta. I'll end with August 5, 2003. The JW Marriott bombing killed 14 people and injured 156 people. A powerful bomb exploded in front of the lobby of the JW Marriott Hotel in Kawasan Mega Kuningan, South Jakarta on August 5, 2003 at around 12:45 West Indonesia time when hotel visitors were enjoying lunch. The source of the explosion came from a Toyota Kijang car bomb. The bomb was triggered via a cell phone found at the site. The JW Marriott Hotel is located in the Golden Triangle area, close to the official complex on Jalan Denpasar and Foreign Embassy complexes. At the Raja Wali Tower next to the JW Marriott Hotel, for example, there are offices of the Embassy of Finland, Sweden, Norway, and Peru. About 200 meters from Marriott is the Chinese Embassy. Well, that was Today in History from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Highlight of the Week presents Issues of the Week.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with this week's Spotlight, which this time is on President Attends Remembrance and Prayer Events in welcoming the 73rd anniversary of the Republic of Indonesia. President Joko Widodo and Vice President Yusuf Kalla attended the Remembrance and Prayer for the Nation, which is part of a series of events welcoming the Republic of Indonesia's 73rd anniversary in 2018 on the front yard of Merdeka Palace, Jakarta, Wednesday, August the 1st. Starting his speech, the president invited the people to be grateful for the grace that God gave in the 73 years of independence. The president also reminded that Indonesia is a large and diverse nation with many differences such as ethnicity, regional language, customs, tradition, and religions. These are the gift from God to the people of Indonesia who should be grateful of. Awareness as a great nation, according to the president, is the main thing because when compared with other countries such as Singapore and Afghanistan, which has fewer tribes, Indonesia is endowed with diversity and pluralism. These differences will become a strength, a potential, if the Indonesian people unite because the nation's greatest asset is unity, harmony, and brotherhood. The president also reminded that Indonesia was also blessed by God with abundant natural resources. The head of state reiterated the importance of maintaining Islamic brotherhood and ukhuwah watoniyah as the key values of unity, harmony, and brotherhood that must be maintained. The holding of regional head elections, including the region governor and also the presidential election, according to the head of state, should not make a fractured relationship among neighbors and villages. The president reminded that the grace of God given to the Indonesian people is the independence achieved by a very long struggle. Because, added the president, many freedom fighters, heroes, Islamic clerics, and students were killed on the battlefield during the War of Independence. Mutual respect and understanding, according to the president, became a manifestation of the sense of brotherhood among compatriots and countrymen. He also added that the democratic process of elections that took place recently should not cause disparagement and ridicule among fellow countrymen. The president hopes that such remembrance and prayer events can be held on August the 1st every year. Meanwhile, Chairman of the Indonesian Ulama Council, MUI, Ma'ruf Amin, was also present at the event, expressed the hope for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or God help to the Indonesian people through the holding of zikir and the national prayer in welcoming the 73rd anniversary of Indonesian independence. Also present at the event were several cabinet ministers and other dignitaries. Well, that was this week's spotlight on President Attends Remembrance and Prayer Events in welcoming the 73rd Indonesian anniversary. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Listener, here's news in brief. Indonesian President Joko Widodo received U.S. Secretary of State Michael Richard Pompeo at Merdeka Palace in Jakarta on Sunday to discuss a number of bilateral and international issues. The U.S. State Secretary Michael Richard Pompeo on Saturday visited Indonesia for a bilateral visit. Indonesian Minister Retno Marsudi reiterated that the two-state solution is the only solution to achieve peace in Palestine. Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi held a bilateral meeting with U.S. Secretary of State Michael Richard Pompeo in Jakarta Saturday. No fewer than 65,000 people performing poco-poco dance in Jakarta's car-free day area on Sunday in an attempt to break the Guinness World Record and to welcome the Asian Games. Indonesian Ambassador to the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia Agus Maftu Abegebril expects the additional quota for Indonesian Hajj pilgrims to reach 250,000 during the Hajj season next year. Well, listeners, that was news in brief.
Kuatkan hatimu, berikan energi di dalam semangat. berdiri, terbanglah kau tinggi. Inilah saatnya namamu bergema, maknai kekalahan sebagai kemenangan yang tertunda. Jangan pernah berputus asa, jadi yang terbaik.
Broadcasting daily from Jakarta on frequency of 95.5 kHz, you can also listen to audio streaming www.voi.co.id. Listener, here is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with Indonesian Wonder, a regular segment presenting Indonesian tourism, including tourist destinations, art and culture, and also culinary. Today, I'll be introducing Kencana Beach in Sumbawa. So stay tuned in to RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. In addition to shortwaves, you can also listen to this program via www.voi.co.id. Sumbawa is famous for its natural beauty, especially the beach. One of the famous ones is Pantai Kencana or Kencana Beach, which is very popular and visited by many tourists. Pantai Kencana offers beautiful view with stunning white sand. The clean white sand on Kencana Beach is really a wonderful sight. Fresh sea breeze and trees that grow along the shoreline also make the atmosphere cool and make you want to linger on. Pantai Kencana or Kencana Beach is different from other beaches because it has a unique shape. It is curved and each of the two ends of the arch has its own charm. Especially on the right side of the arch, where there is a rock with a large hole caused by being exposed to the waves for years. The seawater is crystal clear, so that from the surface of the water you can see the marine biota in it. But be careful when going into the water at Pantai Kencana because it is quite steep. And if you are not careful, you can go directly to the bottom. The beauty of Kencana Beach is not only on the surface. The underwater panorama is quite beautiful and is a shame to miss. If you want to enjoy it, you can rent snorkeling or diving equipment that is around this beach. The view around Kencana Beach is so wonderful that it doesn't seem enough if you just stay on this beach for a while. You can also spend the night at this beach while having a barbecue with friends and family. There are many accommodations that you can choose. At Kencana Beach, there are also restaurants and several shops that provide a variety of souvenirs. To get to Kencana Beach is not difficult because it is only about 11 kilometers from the town of Sumbawa Besar, Sumbawa, West Nusa Tenggara Province. You just go along the provincial road to Pototano Harbor and stop at Badas Harbor. From here, you can just walk for about 500 meters to the west, then you'll find the entrance to Kencana Beach. If you go with family or friends, you don't need to worry about vehicle problems because in Sumbawa, there are many types of vehicle rental services, including the driver. So you don't have to be confused about finding the route because the drivers here are very familiar with the path they are going through. Today's edition of Indonesian Wonder featuring Kencana Beach on the island of Sumbawa. If you are a beach lover and want to find a place where the waves and the sea breeze can calm your mind, put Kencana Beach on Sumbawa Island on your vacation list. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Thank you for still being with us in Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. If you have any suggestion or criticism, please drop us a line to Voice of Indonesia or to our email address english@voi.co.id or to voi.english@gmail.com. Listener now, let's listen to Miscellany.
Miscellany.
Miscellany on Indonesia. A segment featuring various actual information.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with Miscellany, a regular segment featuring various aspects of Indonesia, including its art and culture and tradition, technology, environment, even lifestyle. This edition presents the topic of ITS students creating renewable energy from sugarcane drops. Stay tuned in to RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia at 9525 kHz or www.voinews.id. Energy availability, affordable energy access, or food security are among the problems faced by today's world community, including Indonesia. For example, fuel, oil, gas, and electricity availability. The depletion of petroleum sources as energy materials encourages various parties to seek alternative energy. As is known, the need for electricity in Indonesia is increasing every year. It is estimated that petroleum reserves without new exploitation can only last for the next 21 years. Therefore, alternative energy innovations are needed to overcome the problem of limited oil. Students of the 10 November Union Institute of Technology ITS Surabaya innovate processing sugarcane drops into electrical energy. Three students from ITS Chemical Engineering Department, namely Martiana Nugraini, Tri Wahyuning Eka Purnamasari, and Chandra Adiwijaya, made renewable energy from molasses waste and heavy metal waste. Molasses are a byproduct of the sugarcane industry, which still contains sugar and organic acids. In Indonesia, known as sugarcane drops. Tri Wahyuning Eka Purnamasari explained the utilization of molasses waste in Indonesia is still very lacking. Each hectare of sugarcane land can produce 10 to 15 tons of molasses. Waste from processed sugarcane has high cellulose content, which is a sort of renewable biomass. The Director General of Agriculture estimates the area of sugarcane in Indonesia in 2016 to reach almost 500,000 hectares. If utilized, this can be one of the renewable energy sources. Tri Wahyuning also explained about the dangers of toxic and hazardous waste such as chrome. Heavy metal chrome is often found in the environment due to the use of chemicals in industry. Chrome is a hazardous waste with high toxicity that can endanger human health. Departing from these problems, Tri and her colleagues offered an innovative idea, or FFCs, as a continuous recirculation system as a solution. MFCs are biology-based fuel cells that convert chemical energy into electrical energy with the help of catalytic reactions of microorganisms. The technology used is using waste molasses and heavy metal waste as alternative energy sources. These MFCs consist of two chamber tubes, namely anode and cathode, and it is filled with waste molasses and bacteria, while in the chamber of the cathode it is filled with heavy metal waste. He explained the metabolism that occurs in the anode chamber will produce electricity. In addition to generating electricity, these MFCs can also reduce CR metal waste and reduce the value of biochemical oxygen demand on molasses waste. That was Miss Leni over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another Miss Leni on Indonesia.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Listener's Mailbag, a weekly segment in which your letters and emails are acknowledged. In this segment, we will also play some Indonesian music. Well, we would like to thank our dear listeners, wherever you are, who have sent your letters or emails containing reception reports on our broadcast. Now, let's start answering your letters or emails. First, I would like to read an email sent by Siddhartha Bhattacharji in India. He was listening to our broadcast in German language through the frequencies of 3325 kHz at 1800 hours to 18:30 hours UTC on July the 4th, 2018, with CO 444. Hello, Mr. Siddhartha Bhattacharjee. Thanks for your attention and appreciation on our broadcast. We forwarded your email to the German section. Please be patient to wait for the reply of your email from the German section. But we are trying to answer your one question. 3325 kHz is our temporary frequency, while our old 9525 kHz is being repaired. This frequency is transmitted from RRI Palangkaraya in Central Kalimantan. So, we hope you are satisfied with our answer. Well, Mr. Siddhartha, please keep listening to our broadcast and keep sending your report. And special for you, here's a song. Listener, now we will reply an email from Iwao Nagatani in Japan. He was listening to our broadcast in Japanese program through the frequencies 3325 kHz on June 16, 2018 at 1900 hours up to until 1935 hours UTC. In his email, Mr. Iwao Nagatani told that it is great pleasure that he has heard our radio station. Yes, you're right, we are temporarily using the 3325 kHz because our 9525 is under repair. But we are really glad because you can listen our radio clearly. It can be seen from your detailed reception report. Mr. Iwao Nagatani, your reception report has been forwarded to the Japanese section. Please be patient to wait for the reply. Thank you very much, and so please keep listening to our broadcast and keep sending your report. Okay, listener, let's listen to another song.
Di hati.
You're still listening to Listener's Mailbag, broadcast every Sunday. Now we continue to reply an email from Deba Kamal Hazarika in India. He was listening to our broadcast in English on July the 10th, 2018 at 13:36 hours UTC. Hello, Mr. Deba Kamal Hazarika. Thank you very much for your reception report and compliment on our broadcast. As we keep on saying, our broadcast now can be monitored through the 3325 kHz. Well, Mr. Deba Kamal Hazarika, hopefully our information can be useful for you. So please keep listening, and for you, we will play a very beautiful song.
Sana.
listener, before we end today's listener's mailbag, we want to reply an email from the lovely Dieter Lupold in Germany. In his email, he told us that he tried to listen our broadcast in German program through the 3325 kHz. However, the transmission was not receivable. Hello, Mr. Dieter Lupold. If you listen to us, thank you very much for your attention on our broadcast. We would like to deeply apologize for your inconvenience. We will deliver your complaint to our technical division as usual, and hopefully we will be back again with the 9525 kHz. And listener, wherever you are, we inform you that we have a new program on RRINet. This program is broadcast from Monday to Friday at 2100 hours to 2200 hours West Indonesian Standard Time, or 1400 hours up to until 1500 hours UTC. This program enables you not only listen but also watch our program, just like watching TV. And if you want to access it, please download our application RRI Play, available for Android users. After download it, open the RRI Play, and then you choose RRI Net, and then you can choose the quality of the video, and maybe we will recommend 240 or 360 pixels. Before we sign out, listeners, let's say hello to Ahli Benchorha, Ram Kumar Niraj, Rakesh Rao, and Hamza Bilakal. They are, and many others, are regular listeners who always listen to our radio. Well, listener, actually, we still have so many emails, but unfortunately, we have to sign out. Thank you very much for listening to The Voice of Indonesia, and do not forget to visit our Facebook fan page. We also appreciate your subscription reports on our broadcast. If you want to send letter, please write to Voice of Indonesia English Service, Jalan Beda Merdeka Barat 4N5 Jakarta, 10110 Indonesia. I repeat again, Voice of Indonesia English Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat 4N5 Jakarta 10110 Indonesia. Or you can also send it to our email, voi@voinews.id, voi@voinews.id. Don't forget to visit and like our fan pages on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia and The Voice of Indonesia, and follow our Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Well, listener, to conclude our segment, as usual, we will play another song from Indonesia. I'm Steve signing out. Thank you very much for listening, and see you next time.
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Stay tuned on 9525 kHz. You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4N5, Jakarta. PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110 Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.